The title of the sermon this morning is The Danger of Wealth. The Danger of Wealth. In the 1980s, one of the most popular movies, some of you remember this, was called Wall Street. How many of you have ever seen the original Wall Street with Michael Douglas and Charlie Sheen? And Wall Street was about this greedy Wall Street businessman tycoon named, anybody? Gordon Gekko. Gordon Gekko. And Gordon Gekko made this famous speech in that movie. He said, "The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies in all of its form. I'm sorry, greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the very essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed in all of its forms, greed for life, for money, for love, for knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind." Greed is good, he said. Is greed good? Well, greed helped Gordon Gekko earn a lot of money. He was rich, but it also landed him in prison for corruption. So I'm not sure he would still say that greed is good. What is greed? Greed is the love of money. Greed is simply the love of money. Now, money is not evil. Being rich is not evil. There are a lot of men in the Bible, godly men in the Bible, and women in the Bible who were very wealthy. But it's the love of money, which is greed, which is sinful, which becomes a problem. To put it in spiritual terms, greed is whenever you put your money before God. That's what greed is. It's putting money before God. It's really worshiping your money. To put it in more psychological terms, greed is whenever you look to money rather than God for your emotional needs. You look to money rather than God for happiness and for security and for your sense of self-worth. Greedy people, they don't seek God because they're running after money. They seek money. Greedy people don't need God because all they need is money. And so greed, the Bible says, is not good. Greed is very dangerous. For centuries in the Roman Catholic Church, greed has been called one of the seven deadly sins. A few verses for you. These aren't on the screen, but Psalm 10:3 says, "The one who is greedy curses and despises the Lord." Luke 12:15, "Watch out and be on guard against all greed." 1 Timothy 6:10 says that greed, or the love of money, is the root of all kinds of evil. Greed is not good. What's so bad about greed? Greed can ruin your character. Greed causes people to do sinful things, selfish things, hurtful things. A lot of the sins in the Bible, for example, they were driven by greed. If you take Judas Iscariot, why did Judas betray Jesus? For 30 pieces of silver. Greed was involved in that most heinous act in history. Greed can also ruin your marriage. One of the most, or the most popular reason for divorce is money fights and money problems. People, husbands and wives, who are constantly fighting and disagreeing about money. Greed can also ruin your relationship with your children. Not many people are going to admit this, but there are a lot of parents we know who spend way too much time chasing after money, and so they don't have enough time for their spouse. They don't have enough time for their kids. But greed can also ruin a church. There are a lot of churches who are ruined, who are stagnant, who have been killed because of greed. God has a wonderful plan for our church, I believe. God wants us to win the lost, make disciples. I think that God wants us to make it hard for people in Acadiana to go to hell. That's our mission as a church. And so I hope to see one day, I hope to see our church filled with hundreds of people, families that are worshiping together, studying the Bible, singing praise songs, praying together. I would love to see dozens of small groups, home groups scattered throughout Acadiana, where people are experiencing true biblical fellowship. I would love to see hundreds of students in a program like Bible Drill, where they're learning to memorize Scripture, learning how to navigate their Bibles with competence. I'd love to see hundreds of men in our church gathering every month for our men's Bible study, where they're learning and they're devoting themselves to learning how to be better spiritual leaders in their homes. I think God has wonderful plans for our church, but I think greed can put a halt to all of that. If greed gets a hold of my heart and gets a hold of your heart, it can put a halt to all of that. How can greed ruin a church? Let me get specific. Just some ideas for you to think about. But in a greedy church, this is what a greedy church looks like. In a greedy church, the pastor doesn't preach the hard topics. He doesn't preach the whole truth of God's word because he doesn't want to run off tithers. In a greedy church, the pastor doesn't confront church members in their sin because he doesn't want to lose their tithe. In a greedy church, people don't tithe. In a greedy church, people don't give sacrificially when there's a special need. In a greedy church, people don't give of their time and their energy. That's part of generosity. They don't do that. They're stingy. In a greedy church, people aren't willing to spend a lot of money on ministry. They're not willing to spend a lot of money on marketing and advertising and evangelism and on missions and ministry and the community. The focus is on self. In a greedy church, the people spend a lot of time arguing about money. In a greedy church, rich people are given preferential treatment, and the poor people in the church are ignored or rejected altogether. And so greed can ruin a church. It can kill a church. Now, my purpose this morning is not to rebuke you, because I don't think you're a greedy church. You're a very generous church, and my purpose this morning is not to sound the alarm that we're not reaching our goal with our capital campaign. You can follow along in our worship guide every week, and you can see where we are. What percent are we at right now with our capital campaign? So we're more than 75%, but we're only 50% through our capital campaign. We've already reached 75% of our goal. We're doing well. You're a very generous church, and I'm very grateful for you and proud of you. But you do know we have an enemy, right? And one of the ways that he's going to attack us, because he does not like what's happening in our church, one of the ways that he is going to attack us is with greed. He's going to tempt us with greed. He's going to tempt you. He's going to tempt me. And so what I want to do this morning is simply prepare you for that battle. It's coming. And so I want to give you a battle strategy. I want to give you some weapons, some armor, some tactics that you can use when he comes to attack. So we're going to be in Mark chapter 10, verses 23 through 31. Mark chapter 10, verses 23 through 31. It says, Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were astonished at his words. Again, Jesus said to them, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." They were even more astonished, saying to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Looking at them, Jesus said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, because all things are possible with God." Peter began to tell him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus said, "there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100 times more now at this time, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and eternal life in the age to come. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Two insights about wealth in this passage. Two insights about wealth or about money. Number one, the problem of wealth. The problem of wealth. So we see this in verse 23. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." Now, what is Jesus saying? Simply this. You can write this down. Wealth is a big danger to your relationship with God. Wealth is a big danger to your relationship with God. The richer you are, the harder it is to live for God. The richer you are, the harder it is to have a healthy relationship with God. And this applies both to Christians and non-Christians. Wealth can prevent a non-Christian from becoming a Christian. And wealth can prevent a Christian from going all out for Jesus Christ. Notice that Jesus didn't say greed. He didn't say how hard it is for a greedy person to enter the kingdom of God. He didn't say that, did he? He said how hard it is for a wealthy person. So that means just being wealthy or just being rich is a spiritual danger, is a spiritual hazard. So I want to look more closely at this verse with you, and if you have your Bible open and you're following along, there's three terms I want you to underline or circle. Circle the word hard, Jesus said how hard it is for a wealthy person to enter, or for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Circle the word hard, then circle the word wealth, and then circle the term kingdom of God. Kingdom of God. I want to define those three for you. So first of all, kingdom of God. How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God in this context simply is a synonym for eternal life. It just means heaven. Jesus is saying how hard it is for those who have wealth to go to heaven. But if it applies to unbelievers, it also applies to believers. How hard it is for Christians who have wealth to live for God, to live according to kingdom principles, to go all out for Jesus Christ, to be fully devoted. How hard it is for wealthy Christians to go all out for Jesus Christ. And then wealth. So kingdom of God just means heaven. The word wealth. Jesus said it's very hard for those who have wealth to go to heaven. Later on in the passage, Jesus uses the word rich as a synonym. So it's very difficult for those who have wealth or for those who are rich to go to heaven or to live for Christ. So that brings up the question, who are the wealthy? What does it mean to be rich? Is that me? Is that you? Surely not. Well, this passage immediately follows after an encounter that Jesus had with a young man. It's called the story of the rich young ruler. Rich young ruler, a young man who was rich. He went up to Jesus, approached Jesus, actually ran up to Jesus. And I'm going to go into it more in just a minute. But that young man rejected Christ for his money. He rejected Christ because he refused to give up his money. And the reason why is because he had many possessions. He had many possessions. And then Jesus says how hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. So in other words, in this context, to be wealthy simply means to have many possessions. To have many possessions. Now that fits everybody in this room. Everybody in this room has many possessions. In fact, that's just about everybody in America. According to World Vision, poverty, abject poverty, extreme poverty is when you live on about $2 a day. There are over 700 million people in the world who live in extreme poverty, $2 a day or less. What about Americans? The average American lives on $164 a day. We are wealthy. We are rich. The average American is rich. Now, a lot of us don't feel wealthy. We don't think we're wealthy. We don't think we're rich. And the reason why is because, number one, many of us spend way more than we make, or we try to. We try to spend more than we earn. And anytime you try to spend more than you earn, you're going to feel poor. You're going to feel like there's not enough. I remember talking to somebody one time, he and his wife together, they made about $200,000 a month. And they were so, $200,000 a year, sorry. And they were so stressed about money. They were fighting all the time about money. They felt broke. And they asked my advice. What do? We just can't make it financially. The problem with a lot of people is not income, it's outflow. You got a spending problem. So that's why a lot of us don't feel wealthy, even though we are. Another reason why wealthy people don't feel wealthy is because we compare ourselves to those who have more. And since we don't have as much as somebody else, as our neighbor, we feel like we're poor. We're not wealthy. Just because you don't have as much as your neighbor doesn't mean that you're poor. You know, Matthew Stuller, the owner of Stuller Settings, he doesn't have nearly as much as Elon Musk. But that doesn't mean he's poor. They're both wealthy. So in a sense, to be rich simply means that you have more than enough. See, you have more than you need. And that's just about all of us in America. To be poor, you don't have enough. To be rich, you've got more than enough. You've got more than you need. If you're still not sure that you're wealthy or that you're rich, here's some ways that you can tell that you're rich. How do you know if you're rich? Rich people throw away the food in the refrigerator to make room for more food. Rich people have a house, but then they have an extra house connected to their house where they put their cars. And then rich people, they have special little rooms in their house just for their clothes. We call them closets. Rich people, They look at their closet full of clothes and they say, I don't have anything to wear. Rich people go shopping and they spend money just for fun, just for entertainment. They don't need anything they're buying. It's just fun. Let's go spend money. Rich people have so much stuff, they have to rent extra houses or storage units to put their extra stuff. I have a friend of mine who rents 9 storage units a month for all of his extra stuff. Now, if I were to ask him, are you wealthy? What do you think he would say? Nobody thinks they're wealthy. Isn't that funny? But I think we are. To be wealthy, to be rich, is simply to have more than you need. And that means Jesus is directing this teaching, I mean, it's directly applicable to us, that you and I, because of our affluence, are in grave spiritual danger, that we are up against some major challenges. The odds are against us in terms of living all out for Jesus Christ. Jesus is saying it's going to be very difficult for you as a rich American to go all out for Jesus Christ. It's going to be very difficult. And then the word hard. So we looked at the term kingdom of God and the word wealth. What about the word hard? Jesus says how hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Well, why is it hard for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God or to live for God? Well, it's because those who have wealth are tempted by greed. You're tempted. If you've got wealth, if you've got money, if you've got a lot of possessions, you're tempted to love your money. You're tempted to worship your money. You're tempted to put your money before God. Poor people aren't tempted to put their money before God because they don't have any. They're not tempted to love their money. They don't have any money. But rich people, we've got a lot of money. We've got a lot of possessions. And we're tempted all the time to put that money before God. And if you're going to follow Jesus, you have to put him first. You have to forsake all other gods. You have to give Jesus Christ complete control over every arena of your life, including your finances. But if you're worshiping your money, putting your money before God, you can't move forward with God. Notice that Jesus didn't say how hard it is for alcoholics to enter the kingdom of God. How hard it is for drug addicts to enter the kingdom of God. How hard it is for adulterers to enter the kingdom of God. How hard it is for pedophiles, for murderers, for homosexuals to enter the kingdom of God. Notice he said how hard it is for those who have wealth. Why is that? Well, of course, all sinners have to repent. But the point is that money is the most difficult thing to surrender to God. Money is the most difficult thing to say, okay, God, it's yours. Just tell me what to do with it. Money is the most difficult thing to say, God, I'm going to let you be in control. And so listen, if ever you find that tithing is difficult, if ever you find that it's hard to give over and above my tithe to something like Build to Equip or to the Christmas offering or something like that, you find that generosity is difficult, tithing is difficult, yeah, don't be surprised. I'm not surprised that it's hard for you. Now, it gets easier as you get into the routine. It becomes a lifestyle, becomes a way of life, becomes natural. But when you're first starting, generosity can be very difficult. Why is that? You're not weird. Money is the most difficult thing to surrender to God. And so what is the danger of money, the danger of wealth, or the problem of money, the problem of wealth? It's that money is a big danger to your spiritual life. It's a big danger, a big hazard to your spiritual life. People with money, wealthy people, rich people, have a very difficult time becoming Christians and then living all out as Christians. That means all of us in this room are facing a big challenge. Okay, so what's the solution? That's number two. The second insight we find in this passage is the solution to wealth. The solution to wealth. We see this in verses 24 through 25. If you can go back there with me, Mark 10, 24 through 25. The disciples were astonished at his words. Again, Jesus said to them, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. So how hard is it for a rich person to go all out for Jesus Christ? How hard is it? Well, Jesus used the analogy of a camel. He said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God or to go all out for Jesus Christ. So you know what a camel is. I looked up some statistics. A camel is a huge animal, of course, a desert animal, about 10 feet long, 6 feet tall, just at its shoulder, about 1,000 pounds. Camel is a big animal. You know what a needle is. A needle is used for sewing. And the eye of the needle is this little tiny hole at the top of a needle where you put the thread. Now, how many of you have ever tried to thread a needle? Raise your hand. You try to put a thread. Now, listen. That piece of thread is tiny, isn't it? And it's hard to fit that tiny piece of thread through the eye of a needle. Imagine how hard it is for an entire camel to go through the eye of a needle. It's basically impossible, is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying it's easier for that camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person like you and me to be fully devoted to Jesus Christ. Wow. And of course, this is illustrated by the story right before this. I mentioned the rich young ruler. This young man comes up to Jesus, runs up to Jesus. He says, Jesus, what must I do to go to heaven? What do I need to do to go to heaven? I'm going to make this long story short. I'm not going to go into the full meaning of that parable or of that story, sorry. But Jesus said, basically what you need to do is you need to go sell all of your possessions, give them to the poor, and then come follow me. And the young man, he got real sad, and he walked away. Think about the implications of that, of that story. He would rather lose his soul than lose his money. He would rather go to hell than go broke. He'd rather have Ben Franklin than Jesus Christ. That's powerful. That shows you the power of wealth, the seductive power of money, how powerful it is and how true Jesus' words are. I mean, Jesus said, if you want to go to heaven, all you need to do, just go sell all your stuff to the poor and come follow, sell all your stuff, give the money to the poor and come follow me, and you can go to heaven. Now that's not a bad deal, is it? Eternal life, eternal paradise. Just go sell your stuff, give it to the poor. And that young man said, no. I'd rather go to hell than go broke. That shows how powerful, how hard it is for a rich person to follow Jesus Christ. Now, you might be thinking, well, Andy, I'm not greedy. And so, great sermon, but doesn't really apply to me. Here are some signs that you might struggle with greed. First of all, you get upset or uncomfortable when the sermon is about money. That's a dead tell, dead giveaway. You get upset or uncomfortable when the sermon is about money. In fact, I rarely talk about money. But people who are greedy, these are the ones who say, all they do is talk about money. That's what it feels like, because you're so sensitive about the subject. Here's another one. You refuse to tithe. That's just a basic command in Scripture, black and white. You don't have to pray about it. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to fast and meditate and ask God, what do you want you to do? It's just a clear command in Scripture, and yet you refuse. Number three, you advertise your generosity. So you think you're generous, but the problem is that after you give, after you try to help somebody, you tell everybody about it. You post it on Facebook. You go tell everybody, hey, guess what I did? You should hear what I did, how I helped old so-and-so. Oh, yeah, I did something for old so-and-so, and man, I really helped him out. That's not generosity. What you're doing is you're giving because you like the feeling of generosity, and you like the applause, you like the praise. Another sign you might struggle with greed is that you often fight with your spouse about money. Another one is that you often sacrifice your character for money. You often lie or cheat or steal or do sinful things to make money. Another sign that you struggle with greed is that you sacrifice your relationships for money. You don't give your marriage, you don't give your children nearly the time that they need. because you're chasing after money. Another sign that you struggle with greed is that you often worry about money. I heard somebody say, whatever it is you're worrying, that is your functional God. Whatever it is you're worrying about, that is your God. Because that's what you're relying upon for your sense of security and happiness and self-worth. But you worry about money, that's a sign you might be greedy. And then one more is that you often use credit to buy things you don't need. You got to have the new thing. You got to have this and that, even though you can't pay for it. But you got to have it, and you got to have it right away. That's a sign you struggle with greed. So what's the solution to this problem of wealth? What's the solution? Is there a way for a rich person to guard against greed? Is there a way for a rich person to follow Jesus Christ? The solution here is in verse 26 through 27. Mark 10, 26 through 27, it says, they were even more astonished, saying to one another, then who can be saved? Who can be saved? Looking at them, Jesus said, with man it is impossible, but not with God, because all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. That means with God's help, it's possible to be a rich Christian. With God's help, it's possible to be rich and yet be fully devoted to Jesus Christ. With God's help, it's possible to be a rich church and yet be blessed and used by God. With God's help, it's possible to be an affluent American and yet be on fire for Jesus and be used by God. What this means is that the solution to the problem of money, of wealth, is to depend on God. Desperately depend on God. You need to see that you're in a place of spiritual danger and vulnerability just because you're affluent. And you need to desperately depend on God. How do you do that? Five things. How do we depend on God to overcome greed? Five things. Number one is to give it to God. Give it to God. I'm not talking about physically putting cash in the offering plate or writing a check. What I'm saying is that if you want to overcome the seduction of money, you have to make a firm commitment to God. Lord, I commit my finances to you. Everything I have is actually just yours. And so, Lord, I'm going to do whatever you say with my money. I'm going to live not closed-fisted, but open-handed with my money. So that, Lord, anytime you tell me to do something with it, I'll do it. Because, Lord, it's all yours. So make a firm commitment. Surrender your finances fully over to Jesus Christ. Have you ever done that? Have you ever said, Lord, I'm going to make a commitment today. From now on, from this day forward, Lord, it's yours. It's all yours. I'm giving it to you. Whatever you want me to do with it. That's the first thing. Number two, obey God. Obey God. First, you've made a spiritual commitment. Now you got to follow through with your actions. Let's see if you mean business. And there's two things specifically you have to do. First is stop ill-gotten gain. Stop ill-gotten gain. Stop making money or getting ahead or staying ahead or making ends meet sinfully. By lying or cheating or stealing or selling things you shouldn't be selling, whether it's drugs or pornography or whatever, but you're going to stop ill-gotten gain. You're going to stop resorting to sin in order to get more money or hold on to your money. You're going to from now on, I'm going to do things. I'm going to handle God's money. I'm going to make money God's way in a way that pleases God. And then the second part of obeying God is tithing. Is tithing. I put something in your worship guide. 10 Reasons to Tithe, is that what it's called? That's put out by the Louisiana Baptist Convention, and that's just a little extra encouragement about tithing for you. But if you're going to overcome greed and the seduction of money, you've got to be obedient, and that means just obeying the tithe. You just got to make the decision, make the commitment. From now on, the first check I'm going to write when I get paid is 10%. The first 10%, I'm going to give it to God through the local church. First 10% goes to God. You don't have to pray about it. You don't have to think about it. I'm going to start tithing. So you've got to commit it to God, give it to God. Then you've got to obey God. The third thing is pray to God. If you're going to overcome the seduction of money, you got to pray. If we have to depend desperately on God, then what you have to do is actually just pray and say, Lord, I cannot do this on my own. I cannot be a fully devoted Christian and be rich at the same time. I need your help to overcome the seduction of money. So Lord, help me, give me the strength. Actually ask the Lord to help you. Pray, God, give me the ability, help me to overcome greed. And then four, focus on God. Focus on God. What really matters? What really matters in life? Well, eternity matters, not today. Character matters, not comfort. Pleasing God, not impressing people. Integrity, not image. Serving, not being served. Imitating Jesus, not celebrities. Jesus matters. Church matters. Your family matters. Your relationship with God matters. Your integrity, your character matters. Your children matter. Your grandchildren matter. Money and possessions do not. But all day long, the devil is selling a lie to you. He is trying to persuade you that really what matters is money and possessions. All day long, through messages on the TV and on the internet, all day long, the devil is trying to persuade you that what really matters is money and things. That's what really matters in life. That's what really counts in life. That's really what's going to make you happy, money and things. In fact, we're surrounded all day long by people at work, at home sometimes, depending on who you live with, at school. We're surrounded by people who have bought into the myth of more. The more I get, the happier I'll be. The more money, the more things I have, the happier I'll be. We're surrounded by people who are all swimming with the current of culture. How in the world are we supposed to swim upstream? How do we avoid getting pulled into that current? You've got to focus on God. You have to do whatever you can to focus on God all day long so that you don't get pulled into the current of culture. And so that means you've got to stay in the Word. You've got to read your Bible daily, sometimes twice, three times a day, however much you need to do it. You've got to stay in prayer. You've got to be in church. That's why it's so important not to miss church. Be there as often as you possibly can because you're receiving thousands of messages all week long, but only a 30-minute sermon once a week. You've got to be in church. You've got to be in home group. You've got to be listening to sermons and listening to worship music and worshiping all week long. You've got to do whatever you can to stay focused on God so that He can remind you what really matters. You've got to focus on God. And then finally, you've got to trust in God. Trust in God. If you're going to overcome the seduction of money and greed and wealth, trust that God is going to provide for your needs, even if you go all out for Jesus. Trust that God is going to provide for you, even if you give Him complete control. Even if He says, I want you to empty your bank account, just give it all to me. Trust that He is going to provide. That's what it says, my favorite verse in the Bible, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. You got to trust that. But you also have to trust that living for God is more rewarding than living for money. Living for God is more rewarding than living for money. You have to trust that. If you look at the end of this passage, Mark 10:29-30. Mark 10:29-30. Truly I tell you, Jesus said, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more now at this time. Now at this time, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions and eternal life and the age to come. So Jesus promises that whatever you give to Him or whatever you give up for Him will be given back to you times 100. That's a 1,000% increase. And Jesus doesn't merely promise eternal rewards here, does He? It says, now at this time. Now, some theologians think what that means is that Jesus is talking about the blessings of church family. That if you give up all of your money, if God calls you to give up all of your money and give it to the poor or give it to the church, don't worry, you've got a church family who is there. Your church family, they're going to take care of you. Or if you have to, because you're following Christ, if you lose your mom and your dad, they reject you, don't worry. You've got a bunch more moms and dads in the church. Or if you have to give up your car, God calls you to give up your car for the gospel, don't worry. You've got a church family full of people who have cars, and they're there to help you and support you. That's the way some theologians interpret it. I don't know exactly what Jesus means when he says, now at this time, I just know I believe it because he said it. And what it means is that you can't outgive God. That no matter what you give to the Lord and what you give up for Christ, he will return it to you 100 times over. And you have to believe that. You have to trust in God. It reminds me of tithing and the blessing of tithing. We fear that surrendering our money to God and tithing, that we're somehow going to have less and we're going to be worse off. When the Bible says we'll actually have more, we'll be better off. In Malachi 3, Jesus says, tithe, bring the first 10%, and I'll bless you beyond measure. So when you tithe, you're giving that first 10%. You're not going to be 10% poorer. You're going to be way better off. But you have to believe that. That takes faith. You got to trust in the Lord. So what is the problem of wealth? The problem of wealth is that money is a danger to your relationship with God. Just by virtue of being rich, us affluent Americans, we face a serious challenge spiritually. It's going to be hard for us to be fully devoted to Christ. It's going to be hard for our church to be fully devoted to Jesus because we are wealthy. And wealthy people are susceptible and vulnerable to the temptation of greed, of loving our money and putting our money before God. And what's the solution? The solution is with God, all things are possible. We have to depend on him, look to him. We have to say, Lord, I need your help. I need your help, Lord, to be all that you've called me to be, even though I've got all this money. You know, in America, the main goal is to get more money. The main goal is financial success, and that creeps into the church. And what we pray for and hope for and work for so hard is, I need more money, I need more money. And the Bible is saying, well, the more money you have, the harder it's going to be. It's not that money's evil. But just know, the more money you have, the harder it is to go all out for Jesus. And so we have to say, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me to be what you want me to be, who you want me to be. Help our church to do what it needs to be in spite of the challenge of wealth. God wants to do amazing things through our church. Let's be vigilant. Let's be on the lookout for the enemy and for his tactics to try to stop us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word, Lord, and we thank you, Father, for the warning that Jesus has given us about the danger of wealth, the danger of being rich. Lord, we thank you that you provided for our needs. It's such a blessing to live in the richest country in the history of the world. It's such a blessing, Lord, to have food on the table, clothes on our back, a roof over our head. It's such a blessing to have health care, to have electricity, to have air conditioning, to have a car, two cars, to have internet, to have a mobile phone. I mean, Lord, there's so many blessings of affluence. We thank you, Lord, but we don't want those things to interfere with our relationship with you. We don't want those things to stop us from being all out for Jesus Christ. But Lord, we can't do it without you. We need your help. We are needy. We are weak. Help us, Lord, as individuals, and help us as a church, Lord, just to surrender it all to you. Say, Lord, yes, we thank you for making us wealthy, but God, really, it's yours. It's all yours. It's not ours. You can do whatever you want with it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.